Welcome to the A Catholic Life Podcast. I am Matthew, the author of A Catholic Life, welcoming you to episode 62 of the A Catholic Life Podcast. In today's episode, on the third Sunday after Easter, I address the following topics. First, the propers for this third Sunday after Easter, specifically regarding the leprosy of sin, of which all of us are fighting against. And secondly, I address the topic of Catholic anthropology, that is, understanding body and soul, as well as topics like memory, intellect, and will. I go over a series of articles that I have and am still writing for the Fatima Center on this topic regarding Catholic anthropology, so you can learn more about this important topic, which a lot of Catholic authors are not covering now. But before I go into these topics, I would like to stop and thank the sponsor for today's episode. This episode is sponsored by PrayLatin.com. PrayLatin.com offers Latin prayer cards to learn and share prayers in the sacred language. Learn your basic prayers in Latin conveniently on the go. Practice your pronunciation with easy-to-follow English phonetic renderings of Latin words. PrayLatin.com offers prayer cards in various formats, including Latin-English rosary pamphlets with the traditional 15 mysteries. Shop for additional Latin resources like missal booklets, server response cards, and much more. I would like to stop and really thank PrayLatin.com today for continuing to sponsor these episodes, and I do sincerely hope if you're listening, and if you have been listening to episodes, that you really will go check out PrayLatin.com. I do not just include them as a sponsor for any reason. I think their resources are excellent. So again, please check out today, PrayLatin.com. Now, before I delve into the first topic of today's episode, I'd like to go over briefly the spirituality and the propers for this third Sunday after Easter. I would be remiss if I did not mention that today has been designated World Day of Prayer for Vocations. As we have seen over the past several decades, the Church is very much in need of religious vocations, that is, vocations to the priesthood and to religious life. And it is also true that due to the errors that the Church is going through as a result of Vatican II, as a result of the secularism of the world and of modernism, both from within and without the Church, that there is a great vocations crisis. We need vocations to continue the work that our Lord has entrusted to the Church, yet people are not answering the call. They're not answering the call because both within and without the Church, we are seeing the really strangling of vocations. We certainly pray that families will help foster vocations so that way if a son or daughter is called to religious life, that they will be able to understand and hear the call and have the strength and support of their family to answer it. So before we go into the further of the topics of this episode, I would like everybody to join with me in this short prayer as we pray for vocations. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. O Virgin Mary, Mother of Jesus, and Mother of the Church, to you we commend our young people, in particular those called to closely follow your Son. You know the difficulties, the struggles, the obstacles they must face. Assist them to answer yes to the divine call, as you did at the invitation of the angel. Draw them near to your heart so that they can understand the beauty and the joy that awaits them when our Lord Jesus Christ calls them into his intimacy to be witnesses of his love to the world. O Lord, God of power and majesty, you said that the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Send forth, we beseech thee, laborers into your vineyard, to forgive sins, to celebrate the Eucharist, to baptize, and above all, make us a people worthy of thee. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son, who lives and reigns with thee in the Holy Ghost, world without end. Amen. On to the first topic of today's episode, then. Today is the third Sunday after Easter. Now, it is interesting to note that this is in the traditional calendar, the third Sunday after Easter. In the Novus Ordo, they refer to it a little bit differently, of Sundays of Easter instead of after Easter. So traditionally, it is called the third Sunday after Easter. And something that is important to reflect upon for this day is the ability to continue to grow in holiness, that we are not orphans, that we are truly our Lord's closest people. And what we must do is we must constantly try to fight and resist that temptation to sin, really the leprosy of sin which affects us. It was covered previously in the Sundays after Epiphany, but I think it's important to reflect on that as well now, that even though we've now finished Lent for several weeks, we might feel that tendency to relapse into some of those old ways and habits. And it's important that even if we're not fasting, that we continue to have that mindset of doing penance and doing the will of God and fighting those evil temptations. As I've done in several other episodes, I'd like to read a little bit from Father Pius Parche, his sermons on the liturgy. I find them, even though they're just a few pages for each Sunday in the year, to be quite insightful, and this is what he says, quote, "The lesson for this day is most clearly expressed in the words of the epistle. I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims to refrain yourselves from carnal desires which war against the soul. This teaching on the fact that we are but pilgrims in the world is a profitable one, and it is necessary to put it into practice." Here's what he does as he continues. "Today we enter the second part of Eastertide, which is more concerned about future things, about what is in store both for Christ and for ourselves. Regarding the future for Christ, the Church prepares us for the last two phases of the economy of salvation, the ascension of our Lord and the sending of the Holy Ghost on the Church. As for our own future, the Church prepares us for what lies ahead by first bringing us back to the ordinary pursuits of life. At Easter, we were transported to an island of blessedness, almost as though heaven were already our portion. Now we are returning to our humdrum existence. To begin with, the Church took from us the white robe of baptism on White Sunday, and today she announces a message which, from a human standpoint, is a hard and bitter one. The Christian is not at home in this world. He is nothing more than a stranger and a pilgrim. His real home is in heaven. This truth, however, is so commonplace that we cannot readily grasp its importance, its deep significance, and its consequences. That is why we must not take it serious. That is why we do not take it seriously enough. But at this point, we are going to make an effort to understand what it means." End quote. So then he goes on to reflect on the scripture readings, on salvation history, on the work of our blessed Lord, as well as the activity of the apostles, all going through this theme of we are truly pilgrims on this world, needing to continue to fight that tendency to sin, needing to continue to do penance, to want to do penance, to save our souls and that of our family and our friends. It should be important to note that on this World Day of Prayer for Vocations, that we should be praying and fasting and doing penance for vocations, those in our family and those of our church, of our local church, of the universal church. We certainly pray for traditional vocations, that is for men and women religious, that is both priests as well as brothers and religious sisters who will join traditional religious orders to continue to fight the good fight for the restoration of all things in Christ, of which the Mass and traditional catechesis is first and foremost of importance. Now, this is how Father Pius Parche concludes his reflection for the third Sunday after Easter. I do not have the time to go over this entire excerpt of him, so I'll just go to the conclusion. He says, quote, "Do not allow the lessons of today to go unheeded. It is of the utmost importance in understanding true Christianity. And if it seems to be so out of the ordinary, almost unheard of, then we ought to recognize how secularized or worldly we have become. We should take to heart, then, the words of the devout Thomas a Kempis, where he says, quote, Be thou ever a stranger and a guest on earth, and regard the affairs of the world as foreign occupations that are of no concern of thine. Keep thy heart free, and let it be directed up yonder to God, for down here thou hast no lasting home. There to thy fatherland daily send thy tears, thy prayers, and thy sighs, so that finally after death thy spirit may follow after, and be taken home by the Lord, end quote. On to the second topic of this particular episode, I'd like to discuss a little bit Catholic anthropology. Now, that's something many people don't really know about, and as I mentioned in the introduction to this episode, I feel that's something a lot of Catholic writers are not writing about now, but something I think that needs to be taken into account. So, what is Catholic or Christian anthropology? And it really refers to an understanding of body and soul, the faculties of the soul, for instance, and how we can continue to fight the passions and how we can continue to grow in holiness. So, for instance, the human person is a combination, of course, of body and of soul. And a recent article I wrote for the Fatima Center went over these elements. So what are the elements of the soul? One is the vegetative soul. That is the lowest and most basic level of the soul. It's responsible for functions like nutrition, growth, and reproduction. We share these characteristics of the soul with both animals and plants. That is to say, animals and plants are truly alive just like us, and we share that soul with them. But there's also the sensitive soul. So building upon this vegetative soul, the sensitive soul adds the capacity for sensation and perception. It includes those five external senses like sight and hearing, touch, taste, smell, as well as internal senses like common sense, imagination, and memory. And we share the sensitive soul with animals. So, for instance, animals do have memory. They can have use of the senses. Of course, not to the same extent as us, but there is that commonality, the sensitive soul with animals. And finally, to the last level is the rational soul. This is unique to human beings. And the rational soul is responsible for intellect and will. It enables humans to reason, understand abstract concepts, and make choices ultimately based on free will. This part is not shared with plants or animals. It should be noted as well that the human soul is immortal, that even after death it does not die. The same cannot be said for the vegetative soul or the sensitive soul characteristics, which are in plants and animals, that when an animal or a plant dies, that it truly does die at that moment in its soul, unless God in the future were to recreate it, no longer and will not exist. Now, there's also the elements of the human body. And again, all this is coming from St. Thomas Aquinas' teaching. And he talks about there's three elements to the human body. You have the organic body, which really corresponds to the vegetative soul and includes physical organs responsible for that nutrition, growth, and reproduction. You have the sensory body, which is corresponding to the sensitive soul, organs of external sensation, like the eyes, the ears, the tongue, the nose, all those things that we use for the senses, as well as the internal senses into the brain. And you have, finally, the rational body. And St. Thomas Aquinas taught that the human body is uniquely configured to serve the rational soul. Now, along with these elements of the body and soul, there's an importance to understand memory, intellect, and will. And these are faculties inherent to the soul, not the body, and any discussion of virtues necessitates a basic understanding of them. For instance, what do we mean by memory? Memory is one of those internal senses and is inherent to the sensitive soul. It plays a crucial role in retaining and recalling sensory experiences and is closely linked but distinct from the imagination. Now, the intellect, St. Thomas Aquinas distinguished between the passive intellect, that is receiving and understanding sensory information, and the active intellect, which is abstracting universal concepts from sensory data. He taught that the intellect is immortal, capable of existing beyond the death of the body. And then you have the will. The will is the faculty of the soul that's responsible for choosing and desiring. It's closely connected to the intellect, as the will is directed by the perceived good presented by the intellect. Concerning free will, human beings have the ability to choose or act based on their own volition. However, the will is orientated towards the ultimate good, which is God. And this will plays a crucial role in moral decision making. Moral actions are a result of the will pursuing what is perceived as good, and moral virtues are habits that align the will with the reason. All of this goes to underscore that the entire point of our lives is holiness. Every person on this earth is called to holiness, and every human being is made in the image of God because he gave us intellect and will. So that's something that sometimes children get a little tripped up by. We're made in the image of God. So they might ask, well, then what does God look like? Does he have hands like I do then and a face like I do? And of course, God only took on a human body in the incarnation of our blessed Lord roughly 2,000 years ago. But beforehand, we were still made in the image of God, even if God did not have a human body at that time. So when we talk about being made in the image of God, it is in that particular image of the intellect and the free will, not as we might think of as image, like what does something physically look like? That's something for us, I think, to emphasize and teach our children in greater detail. Now, the Catholic Church is clear that there is one main thing that must be in life if it is to be growing in holiness, and that is self-examination. If we honestly examine our lives to see how closely we're following or accepting our Lord's teachings, which of course come from the Ten Commandments and from his church, we can only grow closer to him. We will love him, worship him, and lead a life of prayer as a result that will ultimately bring us happiness in heaven. Our lives and minds will turn towards him, and we will put our Lord's moral and spiritual teachings into practice. So that is an overview of the elements of the human body and the human soul. And the Fatima Center has a great series of episodes on this, on who is man, the immortal soul, man's body and soul, as well as other basic elements of Catholic anthropology. Building off of that, I wrote a series of articles so far. For instance, one that I wrote several years ago in September 2021, which kind of introduced the topic, was how to regulate the concupiscible and the versus the irascible appetites. Now, building off of that article, I've also written several others. For instance, does sin reside in the will? Of course, sin requires a consent of the will, but what is it that therefore makes something a sin? What's the true difference between mortal and venial sins? What is the role of free will in resisting sins? And I'm building off of that, writing other articles for the Fatima Center. For instance, one that I've recently authored that has not yet been published is how can we resist making rash judgment? Why is it that some people are just so prone to make them? And what are some things we can do to fight against this? It's important that we understand that our choices are truly ours. We have free will. But in order to actually grow in holiness and resist sin and continue to make progress, we don't just blindly hope for progress in spiritual life. We actually have to take concrete action to change our day-to-day habits. You cannot expect to run a marathon if you've never gotten up and run a 5K or you don't run at all. You will not complete the race. You will not succeed. Even if for some miraculous reason you end up completing it within the time before elimination, it's not going to be a good time. And unfortunately, there's so many people going through life feeling that I'll just be a good person. I'll make it to heaven. I don't need to put in all this time. I don't need to follow these observances like Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation or Friday abstinence or fasting on required days, observing Lent, obeying the moral law, the basics of the Ten Commandments. I'll just do whatever I feel like as long as I think it's good. And that's false. We have to understand objectively that God is real, that he has given us his law, so we have a responsibility to know it with our intellect, and our will must consent to it. And using our free will, we must answer yes. And day by day, even if we struggle and we trip up and we need to go to confession, we want to make ever greater progress. And the way we do that is habitualizing these practices in our daily life, whether that's the examination of conscience, daily prayer, daily mass, daily rosary. There's so much we need to do on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, and an annual basis in order to truly live out and make sure that we grow closer and closer to our Lord so we truly have a chance to make it to heaven. We do not just stumble into heaven. Heaven is the reward that we, for living as good of a life as we can, trusting in his mercy, of being open to his call and of answering it, it is a reward for this. It does not happen by happen chance. So on this third Sunday after Easter, I thank you all for listening. I hope that we will put into practice what we're learning from the gospel and the epistle for this Eastertide. Remember that even though we are in the Paschal season, that does not mean we are exempt from Friday abstinence. It is still obligatory, and we certainly might consider adding on at this time both Wednesday and Saturday abstinence voluntarily as well, since that is part of the church's tradition. There's nothing wrong with doing penance for good of souls now. And certainly one thing we might do this week is offer up some additional penance in a small way, like abstinence, for religious vocations, especially those of our family or friends and anyone we know who we feel may have a vocation to the priesthood or religious life. Thank you for listening. May God grant you a most blessed week, and let us strive for greater holiness this and every week. Ad Maiorem Dei Gloriam.
Quid omnis peccata mundi.